Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 49.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
This week, we're joined once again by one of our favorite people in what has become an annual tradition, our friend from Down Under, Matt Percy, the stadium announcer for the Canberra Cavalry. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. We talked to Matt about a month ago, in mid-January, when the Canberra Cavalry were just winding down their season. They did make it to the playoffs, but lost in a four-game series to the Adelaide Bight, who then lost to the first overall team, the Brisbane Bandits. Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. On today's edition, we're joined by Matt Percy from Canberra, Australia, where he's going to let us know all about what the Blue Jays prospects have been doing down in the Australian Baseball League. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me back. I think this is my third year in a row on your podcast, and I love it.
So I know that last year you had taken on a little bit more responsibility with the Canberra Cavalry. What's your title these days?
Well, these days, I'm still the ground announcer for the Canberra Cavalry, so entails everything to do with that side of the things. Also doing some of the on-field interviewing with the players after the games as well. And off-field and away from the field, I also host a player, currently hosting our closer, Michael Click. And also this year, funny enough, I had a number of your Blue Jay players over for Christmas, so... a couple of the boys had nothing to do, so invited them over and gave them a good Aussie Christmas. So heavily involved this season for sure, Mike.
You know, what happens in a good Aussie Christmas?
In a good Aussie Christmas, well, you get together. You have to get together on Christmas Eve. And we had, from the Blue Jays, we had David Harris and Jason Leblebijian over. So you get together with family. We went to a Christmas Eve mass. And then we got the whole family together on Christmas Eve and had a good Aussie barbecue out in the backyard. So we're talking, we had all the things you'd have in a good Aussie barbecue. The boys all gathered round. We had some Christmas carols on. For the guys who come from the colder climates, we had we YouTubed a fireplace and put it on the TV as well. And then we had a great night just sitting around having talking and getting into the Christmas spirit. And then obviously Christmas morning, we got the guys up and we had some breakfast. Every one of them had some presents under the Christmas tree. And then once again, got the family together and had a great Aussie Christmas and some backyard games with the guys. So it was really good fun. They had a really good day.
So obviously the experience of Christmas outdoors in Australia is definitely very different than it is here. Here, you gather inside and cook things that are, warming and comforting. And, what goes on the barbecue, at Christmas time in Australia?
Well, traditionally, you put a lot of things on the barbecue that you would cook as well. However, we cook them out on the barbecue. So you might have your ham out on the barbecue or your turkey on the barbecue. But also, they're for Christmas Day. On Christmas Eve, you might cook sausages and have a sausage sizzle and put little things like that together. Maybe throw a couple of steaks on the barbie if you're feeling really hungry. But just some of those things you can eat with your hands, like sausages and bread. And those sort of things that we do on Christmas Eve, and it was a real experience for the guys to be outside. It was nice and hot. It was, I think, about 90 degrees on Christmas Eve. So a lot of the guys said it was a very different experience having Christmas in Australia, for sure.
But no shrimps on the barbie.
We didn't have any shrimp on the barbie, actually, and that's probably, they've probably all but gone away disappointed that we didn't. We didn't even think about that. But that could be something you could certainly throw on the barbie.
So you're going against the stereotype there.
We are going against the stereotype. We had a range of different bits and pieces to eat on Christmas Eve, except for the shrimp on the barbie. We did have a couple of nice cold beers on ice, though, because it was a very hot day. So the boys all had a beer or two. They all had to behave because they had a game on Boxing Day on the 26th of December. So it was all very low-key, but... a very good Christmas. Lots of Christmas carols in the background were on the stereo, so it was good fun.
Well, that sounds like a definitely interesting experience for Christmas. I definitely think those who partook would have enjoyed the experience.
Yes, the one funny story from the day. Well, not quite so funny for him, but David Harris was hit in the head, actually, on the first pitch of the game about 3 days earlier, and he was still suffering the effects of that. So we had Harris tucked up in bed for most of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. He was a very sick young man, but still managed to get into the Christmas spirit despite that.
Well, that's good, and we hope that he is over any lingering effects of that hit by pitch.
He's certainly back to himself, that's for sure, Mike. It took him a couple of weeks, but he is back. He is a little live wire around the ballpark, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, this season in the Australian Baseball League, I've heard some rumblings that some changes were afoot, and I heard that MLB was questioning some things. What can you tell us about the MLB relationship with the Australian Baseball League and how things have been going down there?
Look, personally, I'm not so sure about the MLB relationship with the Australian Baseball League. I do know that initially, their relationship with our league was a 5-year relationship or 6-year relationship, which is up this year. However, I'm sure that the Australian Baseball League are hopeful that that will be extended into the future. And the league has started to gain a lot of momentum here, so I can't see any reason why that wouldn't happen. The season's been going well. In particular, over the last few weeks, crowds around the league have gone up considerably. I know that last night we played a game. We won in front of about just over 2,000 fans, so which was a really good turnout. That really filled our ballpark, and that's been happening around the league. The league's nice and even. There's all the teams are relatively similar in strength, so the quality of play is fantastic. So I'm sure that MLB will get something done because it is a valuable league. A lot of the players who are coming down here are moving forward in their careers. We're getting a number of players commencing or spending some time of their career here and going on to play in the major league. So it's a really good coup for the league.
Now, how important is having someone like Liam Hendricks having such success at the major league level for the Australian Baseball League and baseball in Australia?
It's very, very important, Mike. We can heavily promote that to the people in Australia. Baseball, as you know, is a very minor sport at the moment in Australia. But when you can say you've got people like Liam Hendricks, or just recently we've had Travis Blackley pitch, who has been very recently been on a roster in the States. We've had Peter Moylan pitch this weekend for Melbourne, who pitched this season in Atlanta. It's very important to have these guys, particularly Australian guys who pitch or play out here and who have experience or go on to experience the major leagues. It's a good selling point, not only for our fans, not only to get the media involved here in Australia, but also to see that players who do have that success overseas come back and give back a little to Australian baseball.
Now, before we get to the current Blue Jay players, there's one who was traded this season who still, you know, made the commitment to return to the Canberra Cavalry, and that's Jack Murphy. How's Jack doing?
it's wonderful having Jack back. He is, I think I've said each and every season, every year he seems to grow as a leader of our organisation, and this is his fourth season back. He's hit the ball reasonably well. I believe he's working on a new swing with the Dodgers, who he's been traded to. However, he's just bringing his leadership to the team, and Jack Murphy is certainly someone that that we build our entire squad around. Jack's stats, he's batting in the low 200s, but he's still showing power. He's won some games off his own bat for us this season. He's had a couple of walk-off home runs for us. So you see the players get around Jack when he does something amazing. It's great to see. So it's really good having Jack back. And look, he's contributing in every way that he can. And so it's been good fun to have Jack back.
And how are the fans reacting to Jack?
The fans love Jack. When I announce Jack's name, every at-bat he gets the loudest cheer. They love him. He walks around the ballpark and everyone wants to say hello. He is really the superstar of Australian baseball.
And now he's a Los Angeles Dodger.
Now he's a Los Angeles Dodger. So I hope that he does well this season and continues to progress.
Absolutely, and so do we. We've talked to him several times. We've interviewed him over the years. I did see him in New Hampshire in April, and he had actually changed to just hitting left-handed. He was a switch hitter and was sort of focusing on the left-handed side. Is he still doing that, or is he...
He's not, actually. I've always thought that because he has great power from the left side. However, he's been switch hitting this season, so I didn't realise that he had changed. So what I believe, Mike, is if Jack goes to the Dodgers and if they can just play him a lot, the more he plays, the better he performs. So good luck, Jack.
Yes, good luck, Jack. So let's go to some of the Blue Jays players. Let's talk a little bit about them. The first guys I want to talk to are sort of the icebreakers to a certain degree for Blue Jays players going down. They're the first pitchers who have played for the Canberra Cavalry, and that's Phil Kish and Colton Turner. You've got a righty and a lefty. So why don't you pick one of those and tell us a little bit about how they're doing?
Well, I certainly will. And I will say straight up that it's a very hard, it's a very different job being a relief pitcher in particular in baseball in Australia, because we're only playing 4 days a week. So if your starter goes deep into the game, you may not get in often. So you might only be pitching once or twice a week, which is a very difficult thing to grasp. And to be honest, the boys throughout, everyone who comes out and is in the bullpen finds it a little difficult once while they're trying to figure out their roles and when they're going to go to get in, and they're not going to be pitching three or four times a week. In saying that, I'll start with Colton Turner. Colton has become a very important cog at the back end of our ball games. Colton has been pitching predominantly the seventh inning. He did last night. He's been pitching really well. He throws it quick and throws strikes, which is what you want from someone out of the bullpen. And as I said, the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning in those important games, Colton Turner's a very integral part of that unit. And I have our closer, Michael Click, who lives at my house, and we're only talking last night, and he said Colton has started to really understand what he's trying to do out there, and he's throwing strikes and throwing beautifully. So very exciting to see his progress across the first, you know, across the majority of the season so far, Mike.
Well, it looks to me, I'm just pulling up some of his stats, and it looks like he's only given up, three earned runs since the middle of December.
Exactly.
And definitely looks like he has been striking out some more guys. It sort of looks like he has an off day, and then he has a day when he's really on and guys are really having trouble.
Yeah, he can come out and honestly just be near on unhittable, and he may. And the problem is, as you know, coming out of the bullpen, you make one mistake and you give up a run or two, and that really affects your stats. So if he was able to eradicate those small little mental errors, you can really see some promise in him, because he does throw it really quick. I sit there and look at all the pitches from around the league come through our ballpark, and Colton's velocity would be right up there. He's throwing it really well. Last night and over the last few home series, as you said, he's really turned it around, which is great.
Well, I've seen Colton, when I saw him throwing in August or September, he was throwing around, I don't know if you guys use kilometers or miles.
Go with miles, absolutely.
All right. So I think he was up to about 92, 93 miles an hour, maybe touching 94,
yeah.
which was much better than I saw before he had his Tommy John surgery. And again, that's what's really encouraging about Colton Turner is that last year was really, I think, his first year back after the Tommy John surgery, where he had to be out of the game for a full year. And
yes, look,
has really found himself.
Yes, and as we know, as we've come to experience out here with a lot of the players that come out from the States to play winter leagues, even though it's summer over here, it's not always about stats over here. It's about developing and getting repetitions and getting innings pitched in this instance. You can see his improvement across the course of the season, and I, without a radar gun, wouldn't be surprised at all if he's now throwing that around the 94 miles an hour, and I believe he can build on that once he goes back for spring training.
All right, so now that we've established that Colton Turner is really sort of finding a groove right now,
yep.
What can you tell us about Phil Kish?
Yeah, it's actually a similar story with Phil. I think it took him a while to find his role. And if you look at his stats, at Phil's stats, he has only given up a 3 earned runs since around the middle of December as well. It was a little bit of a struggle for him at the start of our season. And a struggle, I guess, finding opportunities to get into the game. As I said, we're getting close to playoff baseball and really figuring out what our bullpen looks like at the moment. And Phil is certainly a part of that. He hasn't had the opportunity to pitch much. He only pitched, I think, he got into two games last weekend and pitched two-thirds of an inning on both occasions. Did well. So he's starting to turn it around out here. I do know that he's an older guy, and I believe he came into pitching for the Blue Jays later on in life. He works for Ernst & Young as an accountant, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yeah, so you can see him figuring things out. And again, I think it was a great idea to send Phil out here to get some extra innings under his belt, because you can see once again his improvement across the course of the season, working out his role in the bullpen, which there's a definite role there for him, and so he's coming around as well, which is good. Our bullpen was a little bit of a struggle there for the first half of the season, but we can certainly see signs of it now actually becoming a bit of a strength for the team, which is great.
Well, Judge, you know, from the schedule, it almost seems like the Australian Baseball League schedule is very similar to the college schedule, where
sure.
You're playing on the weekends. I think college, they go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe Monday.
Yeah.
So in the college schedule, you know, you would have your basically Friday, Saturday starters, and they would be the main starting pitchers, and everyone else would sort of be waiting to pitch. And it almost seems like, I guess you'd have a four-starter rotation in this league, and you're starting once a week as opposed to going every, you know, 5 days. And with the bullpen pitchers, they'll get into two or three games a week, you know, almost certainly. And so there definitely seems like an adjustment to the schedule.
There sure is, that's for sure. We'd play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got your four starters, and they're going to go. And if they pitch well, our closer, Michael Klinik, earlier in the season, our starters would be beautiful. So I was only getting into games on Sunday. And so you're sitting around all week to pitch an inning on Sunday. Takes an adjustment. And that's the same for everyone in the bullpen. If your starters go well, your bullpen's stocked, full of arms, everyone's down there. You can see them all out of their chairs in the bullpen, all warming up, ready to go, saying, "Coach, put me in." So it was an adjustment. We're now starting to really, really focus on roles in the bullpen, and Phil and Colton are both certainly have parts in that, which is great.
All right, so let's get to the hitters, and we'll start with the gentleman that you didn't have over at your place, and that would be Derek Lovelace.
Mr. Derek Lovelace, who has now gone home to get married, I believe, this weekend. However, Derek Lovelace, besides being a very quiet and unassuming man, was very popular with his teammates. They had a bachelor party down at the ocean for him earlier, just before Christmas. The whole team went. It was wonderful. Now, Derek's batting average was probably lower than he would have liked, I'm sure. However, I can say this one thing. He knows what he's doing up at the plate, and I think the results are going to come. If you look at his... he walked 25 times in 38 games. So he was always the spark plug. We started to put him up in the top of the lineup, particularly around the time when David Harris was out with his concussion. And he has the ability to get on base, which is an important tool. And now it's just to bring those other things around into his game as well. So it was a good, solid season out here for Derek, and was, you know, honestly leaves a hole in our lineup somewhat to have him not here for the last few weeks and playoffs.
Well, Loveless has always had that, you know, good eye and good approach at the plate, and it's good to see him translate that into his off-season league.
Yes.
And just so the listeners can know the stats, you know, his batting average is 197, which obviously could be better, but his slugging percentage was .340. His on-base percentage was .343, almost 150 points higher, which is outstanding.
Absolutely. And he hit some home runs, he hit some doubles and some triples, so the talent is certainly there for Derek, and I'd love to see him just translate that a little bit more and get a few more balls in play and just lift up that batting average. And as you know, Mike, if you can add 50 or 60 points onto the batting average, that puts his on-base percentage right up there around 400, which would be a brilliant effort and probably, I believe, a goal for him this season.
Well, I think so. And the interesting question for him is going to be whether he stays at Dunedin a little bit longer to open the season or he moves up to New Hampshire. It's going to be very interesting. I think this year, even though the Blue Jays have made a lot of trades to get some of the players at the major league level, they traded out a lot of the minor league pitchers. I think it was about 12 or 14 pitchers in the, you know, some of their best prospects. Really thinned out the organization, but they also haven't signed a lot of minor league free agents to fill out some of the top levels of the organization, which means there may be more room for players to move up, like Derek Loveless, who may have been held down a level at the beginning of a year otherwise. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Blue Jays treat Loveless. He's not an older guy. He's only about 21.
That will be interesting because I believe, as you say, he's only 20, 21, and I think the talent's there.
Indeed, and Loveless, I think he had a solid season in 2015 with Dunedin. And the other thing to note is that the Florida State League is actually a pitcher-friendly league. It's a very hot and it's a very high humidity, so the ball doesn't travel nearly as well. Sorry, Derek is 22 now, and in Dunedin he also had a low batting average, but again a very high on base percentage relative to his batting average, and some pretty decent offensive statistics with 10 home runs in, again, a league where the home run leader was his teammate with, I think, 14.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, 2 weeks ago we won on a walk-off home run by Jack Murphy. However, the guy who helped us win the game was Derek Loveless and hit what many would consider the biggest home run in our ballpark's history. It was a monster shot. So the power's certainly there, I can say that. And if he can put all those skills together this season, we had about 117 at-bats out here this off-season, hopefully that gives him some good momentum to 2016.
Outstanding. All right, let's move on to a player who I think is very well-loved amongst his teammates back in the Blue Jay system, and that's Jason Leblebijian.
Why wouldn't you love Jason Leblebijian? He is honestly one of the nicer guys I've met, Jason, and playing some fantastic baseball out here this season. He's got the batting average, .316. He's got the on-base percentage. He's nudging 400, and I think he's leading the league in RBIs with 43, and playing some outstanding defense at shortstop. actually. And he is an automatic, bats third, and they put him in at shortstop every game. And he always contributes to our team, Jason does. So he's having an outstanding off-season out here.
Well, that's excellent. And Leblebijan is a really interesting guy because he hit extremely well in Lansing. And when he went up to Dunedin, he actually didn't hit well at all. He had a very poor statistical line in about 32 games in Dunedin. But in Lansing, he was one of the team's best and most consistent hitters. I guess you're obviously seeing that good, consistent side of him.
I see good, consistent, particularly the doubles power. He's hit 18 doubles so far. He's also hit 8 home runs. So you've just got that good, consistent play who you can rely on each and every game. He seems to be one of those leaders in the clubhouse as well. Contributes to the atmosphere around the team. Contributes to the winning. Very, very focused guy. I had him around on Christmas Eve, and Lebby's whole focus, aside from enjoying Christmas, was preparing for the game on the 26th of December. Very professional. And just a little funny story for you here, Mike. Jason is causing all sorts of issues around the league with his name for ground announcers and commentators. They can't quite grasp saying Leblebijan. You've had all sorts of different versions of his name, and fans from Canberra are tweeting commentators around the country saying, it's not hard, Leblebijan. It's great.
Well, I guess there weren't too many Armenian immigrants to Australia over the years to get people used to those sounds.
Exactly.
Leblebijan's having a fantastic winter season. He's actually third in the league in OPS, which is outstanding.
It's outstanding, yes. He is playing really well on both sides of the ball, which is great. He's a linchpin. He was out for the last two games against Perth in our last away series on the weekend just gone. I believe he tweaked his back, which is a little bit of a worry, but he's back on the field last night and back into it. So he is one of the guys who's going to drive us towards the playoffs in the next few weeks.
Well, that's fantastic. And the final member of the quintet this year is David Harris. And where is he playing the most? What position?
Center field.
Center
field. He has every now and then played a little bit of right when we've needed to. However, he's played the majority of his time in center field.
Which is really interesting because he was drafted as a third baseman.
Really?
And played a mixture of third base and left field over the past couple of years, mostly with Lansing, but also with Dunedin. And to my knowledge, center field is probably very new for Harris.
That's very interesting. I did not know that. He looks quite a natural out there, to tell you the truth. And I'm struggling to imagine David at third base, to tell you the truth, Mike. He's looked good out there. He's very quick. So he can track balls down wherever they're hit, generally. He's got a range all over that center field. So he looks really good out there.
Well, you know, I've just pulled up his stats, and I'll let you know. In his draft year in 2013, he played mostly at second base, a little bit at third, and a little bit at short. 2014 in Vancouver, he was still mostly an infielder with Vancouver, but he played mostly in left field in Lansing. And last season, he was strictly an outfielder. Most of that time was in left field, with one game in right field in Dunedin and two in Lansing. He had never played a game in center field as a professional
until he went
to Australia.
That's unbelievable. You must have had some very good center fielders in your organization, because I believe David would have been wasted for us in left field. He covers too much territory out in center.
Well, we do know he's very fast, but he did have DJ Davis and Anthony Alford on teams he was playing on. So, yeah, there was some competition
yes.
there.
Yeah, you may not shift Anthony Alford out of center field. I can understand that.
And DJ Davis was a first-round draft pick several years ago by the Blue Jays, and he's definitely not going to lose time in center field to David Harris. So that's fantastic to hear that he's really taken to the shift to outfield, and he becomes another center field option for the Blue Jays. And I think at one point I've been putting together my depth charts. I think we're fairly thin, not fairly thin, but it's always good to have a little more depth at the center field spot.
It certainly is, and it's good for David to have that extra string to his bow that he can say, look, I've played left, I've played center, I can also play in the infield. Nice little utility option there for him as well.
Now, not only is David leading the team in batting average, he's, I think, third in the league. So not only is David Harris leading the team in batting average, but he's also tied for second in the league at 344.
He sure is. He's only 3 points off leading the league in batting average, and his concussion that he sustained just before Christmas affected those stats as well. So honestly, he was batting around 370, 380 for the majority of the season, and I think he came back and he was slowed down just a little bit for one of the series earlier on this in 2016. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get that average back up a little bit before we're all said and done. Playing really well is David.
No kidding. you know, I've been following his off season and just, you know, astounds me. He's got 11 doubles, 2 triples, 4 home runs, and 7 stolen bases, but his slash line with a 344 average, 420 on base percentage, and 519 slugging percentage is something that I think any team would say, hey, you know, here's a guy we need to really focus on a little bit more when he gets back to the U.S.
Absolutely. He's the guy that we plug in. He leads off for our lineup every single game. He's, as we know, we've talked about, he's in center field every single game, and all he does is get on base and create havoc on the base paths. Yeah, he's stolen 7 bases. However, they need to focus on him because he has got a lot of speed, and he's scored, I'm looking at the stats here, 35 runs as well. So in 41 games, when you're scoring nearly every game, it's what you want to see from your leadoff guy.
Now, how would you characterize the quality of the contact he's making?
Excellent. Excellent. He's making some brilliant contact. He hit a triple last night, actually, and he was probably coming around second thinking inside the park home run because he hit it a long way and hit the fence, the outfield fence. He hit it about 370 on the fly off the middle of the fence. If that gives you an idea about how well he's hitting it, and it's he just keeps hitting those line drives up the middle, down the lines, hitting the ball hard.
Well, you know, that's what I see a lot of, and I think maybe some are falling in that hadn't in the regular season back in either Lansing or Dunedin. Again, he like Leb Labigian, he had very good numbers in Lansing last year, but those numbers really took a hit when he went up to Dunedin for an extended period of time. So it's going to be interesting to see Harris, because I think they're going to try to test him in Dunedin, whereas someone like Loveless had actually better stats overall in Dunedin over the course of a full year. So it's very interesting to see how different players react to the different environment in Australia, because sometimes players who are really successful at one level and players who aren't so successful at the same level in the U.S. have very different results when it comes to playing in Australia.
Look, absolutely, and it's also going to be interesting to see. A lot of the times we'll see a great example, Anthony Alford, have some success over here in Australia and take that back with him to your minor league season and really take off. So I'm hopeful, and I'll be really interested to watch, as I am every season, your guys going back over there and seeing, hopefully seeing them translate the great results they've had out here over to the minor leagues over there, because the results over here, the quality of play over here, Mike, is we are a very good quality league. We the results over here, they're not these aren't cheap stats. They are really earning these stats out here. So I can see a guy like David Harris using the confidence of having a really successful 3 months to take that back and really taking that next step and putting the stats up that he'd want to see once he goes up a level.
Well, we'd like to see that. David Harris is probably one of the best. He's probably in the best physical condition of any of the guys I've seen. I mean, he's just ripped and full of muscle and lean muscle and is very fast and very athletic. So he's definitely a guy that I've sort of had in the back of my mind over the past few years. Here's a guy to watch, because he does have a nice quick swing and he does have really explosive speed. So I've just been waiting a little bit for him to break out.
And out here, one of the great parts about coming out to play baseball in Australia, there's not a whole lot else that these guys can do apart from see some sights, have a look at Australia, maybe see a kangaroo. But apart from that, they're just working on their game. And they're very focused. These guys in particular, all of your Blue Jays guys have come out focused and working hard on their game. And when you have 3 months dedicated to working out, going to the field early and getting in 3-hour practices on the days that they're not playing, you can really see the improvement across the board, not just physically, but also in their game across the course of the season, with nothing else to focus on really, except for baseball.
Well, that's very true, and I mean, we do hope that the players have that same approach in North America, but it also gets hard because their families, are much closer, and there's also a lot more responsibilities asked of them.
Absolutely, these guys. It's just a different environment where you are 100% focused on baseball, and it's something that you can do for 3 months. You wouldn't want to do that 12 months a year because you burn yourself out, Mike. But for 3 months to just really focus, but also at the same time, these guys are having a great time out here. It's a really great group of players, and they're all very tight. The whole organization is very close this season, so it's just really pushing each other. A group of guys who've never met each other. Obviously, the Blue Jays guys have, but then you've got guys coming from different organizations and independent leagues all coming together and supporting each other and pushing each other to become better ball players.
All right, so playoffs are coming up. So why don't you tell me? It looks like the Cavalry are in second place.
Yes,
and behind Brisbane this year, Sydney has been the league powerhouse for the last few years, and they're actually in fourth place with a sub 500 record. So what can you tell us about Brisbane and who are the Canberra Cavalry going to have to play in the playoffs?
Yes. Well, Sydney have been powerful, but then Perth are the back-to-back champions, and they are currently in fifth place. So what we're looking at, though, at the moment is Brisbane. We have 7 regular season games to go. We're 3.5 games behind Brisbane. So unless something dramatic happens, Brisbane may just finish on top, which means second and third playoff for the right to play Brisbane in the final. So we're looking at maybe playing Adelaide in a 3-game series, best of 3. Which would be 1 game in Adelaide and 2 back in Canberra, because we've got a healthy lead over them for third, not wanting to get too far ahead of ourselves. But we're looking possibly at a Canberra-Adelaide semi-final with a winner to play Brisbane. Now, I think if you asked our players, and I wouldn't ask them today because I don't like to... baseball players are superstitious. We play both teams very well, so it's a very exciting time. Can't wait to see what playoff baseball brings. It's going to bring a great atmosphere around the ballpark, that's for sure, and I'm quite sure all the players are looking forward to it as well.
So we've got, 2 more weeks until the playoffs start?
We have. We've got this weekend here in Canberra, we have 3 more games, and then we actually have 1 more away series, 4 games in Adelaide, would you believe? So there may be a chance that we travel to Adelaide 2 weeks in a row both for the last home series of the season, but the last away series of the season, and then playoffs.
But there's also some an opportunity to put a little bit more space between the two teams in that last weekend series.
Absolutely. We'd be looking to chalk up a few more wins. We're playing Sydney at the moment. We'd love to put a couple more wins on there just to try and ensure that we've got the home games here in Canberra rather than having to travel to Adelaide for two. So we're looking to really reinforce our home field advantage, which we believe we have the best home field in Australian baseball.
All right. Well, it looks like the Canberra Cavalry have their destiny in their own hands pretty much for this season. And, you know, the club has been to the playoffs. Has it been each of the last 3 years?
We missed last year. However, we were there the 2 years before that. And 2012, 2013, we actually won the competition.
Right. So this is another good opportunity to get back in the playoffs and hopefully win another ABL championship.
That's the goal. And that's been the goal since before the start of the season. So everyone within the organization at the Canberra Cavalry are all focused in on that goal.
Well, with that goal in mind, we want to wish the Canberra Cavalry and all of its Blue Jays affiliated and former Blue Jay affiliated players the best of luck going into the 2016 playoffs.
Thank you very much, Mike. We love our relationship with the Blue Jays. Every one of our guys, I believe, Canberra Cavalry fans follow for the rest of their careers. We're always talking about the guys who have come in the past, and we'll talk about this current batch of players in the future, and we're all excited to see them do well.
Well, that's fantastic, and I'm sure I say this every year, but one of these days I do want to get down to some winter ball down in Australia, because maybe 1 year when it's just too darn cold, I'll have to take you up on that.
Mike, if you ever come to Canberra, I'll ensure that you have the best seat in the house.
That's great, and I look forward to hearing your dulcet tones on the loudspeaker down in Canberra.
Fantastic.
With the Cavalry.
With the Cavalry, that would be great.
Now, is there somewhere that our fans can go to either listen to or watch online?
Oh, they have to go and watch online, Mike. If your fans go to www.theabl.com.au, on the homepage, halfway down the homepage, there is a link. The ABL has a YouTube channel, and we have a live stream each and every home series. Very, very good quality stream. You need to get your listeners to go and watch our boys or their boys through that. So www.theabl.com.au, and you'll see a link that says watch every pitch live and free.
That's terrific, and I will definitely do that, and I hope they'll follow your instructions. And the other thing, I just went on the website. You guys are hosting a World Baseball Classic qualifier this year.
Yeah, that's being hosted in Sydney. So we've got a number of teams from our region coming in just, I believe it's the week after the end of the Australian Baseball League season. And Australia, I believe, are hoping to qualify for the World Baseball Classic through that tournament. We've got a number of players who are currently playing in the ABL, and I believe a number of players from around the world who are coming, flying in to join together and try and achieve that goal. Should be exciting.
Now, I know it's been sort of made a controversial issue with the Blue Jays. I think Mexico is requesting that three players on the Blue Jays major league roster be released to be able to play in a World Baseball Classic qualifier. And I think the Blue Jays have refused.
Wow, okay.
Do you know if the Oakland Athletics are going to allow Liam Hendricks?
I haven't heard that. I would be surprised if he played, to tell you the truth. But I haven't heard one way or the other whether Liam's going to be involved in that.
That's very interesting, because I think for most teams, they're hesitantly willing to give permission for the World Baseball Classic, but for the qualifiers, there's generally not as much enthusiasm.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Liam Hendricks is involved. As you say, I'm sure that if we were able to qualify, then he would then be involved, as a lot of players are. However, in this instance, to fly out for a three-day tournament just before spring training might be a bit of a stretch for the Oakland Athletics to allow Liam to do that.
Yeah, I have a feeling that might be a little bit too much to ask for a player that's, you know, got, you know, at least $1 million riding on the health of his arm.
Exactly. It's a big figure to think about. And I'm sure for the player himself, I just want to have a smooth start into the season and make sure of my place on the roster at Oakland rather than flying out for a three-day tournament where anything can happen.
Exactly, and you could be involved in a brawl like Canada was in their 2013 tournament with Mexico.
And you don't want that.
No, we don't want that. And in fact, the Blue Jays just acquired the Mexican pitcher who started the whole brawl.
So it's
all come full circle.
Absolutely. That's very funny.
All righty. Well, we're going to let you go and get started on your day because even though it's afternoon here, it's early morning in Canberra, Australia. So you have a great day and enjoy some baseball.
I will, Mike. I'll head out to the ballpark later on today. It is very early here now. However, we do have another game tonight, so we'll have a great night at the ballpark, and it's really been great talking to you again once again this season, Mike.
Fantastic. Thank you once again for joining us the third year in a row. That's Matt Percy, the stadium announcer for the Canberra Cavalry.
That's it for episode number 49 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Matt Percy for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon and go Jays go.